Now we have before us this morning, first of all, in the book of Psalms, chapter number 9. For those of you who've not been here and maybe have not heard for a while, we have been dealing with a subject of wounds that nobody sees. They're deep wounds in people, and they're wounds that nobody sees, but they're nonetheless great wounds in hearts. Notice what it says in Psalms 109, and listen to the David in verse number 21, if you will, please. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Thank God there's one remedy for a wounded heart, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the mercy of God. But it is available to you, and you can have that. Now, I ask you also, if you would, find your place in the book of Isaiah, and in Isaiah chapter 53, a passage of scripture that I spent some time on here a while back, wonderful passage of scripture in the Old Testament. But I call your attention once again to verse number 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Thank God he was wounded for us. He was bruised for us. He was chastised for us. He received stripes for us. It was all for us. And thank God that he was willing to suffer like that. Now turn to the New Testament, please, and find in the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 4. And last Sunday, we had our celebration course of our anniversary, Brother Brad and Brother Tim, and our families for being here. And so I just kind of introduced this message, said a few comments. I'll say kind of amplify on some of that this morning. But in the book of Hebrews, if you would, please, I'd like for you to, if you would, look with me, please, as we think about our Lord at verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And then if you look over in chapter number 5, I want to read beginning at verse number 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had suffered, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. I leave off the reading there of that verse. But I want us to look at verse number 9 and listen. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Will you bow in prayer? Now, Father, I ask God the Holy Ghost to speak to me this morning. Thank you, our Father, for blessing us so already with the congregational singing and fellowshipping with God's people. Thank you, our Father, for the wonderful singing, our Father, this morning of the choir. Thank you for touching them, and thank you for redeeming in marvelous grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege of being in your house today. And God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for Brother Danny this morning and for Copper. And God, I thank you for your word. I pray, God, now that you speak to hearts, make it real, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, I've been dealing with the subject of wounds that nobody sees. When you think about this passage of scripture here in the book of Hebrews and in the book of Isaiah, it says he was wounded for our iniquities. He said he is not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And if you express it in a positive sense, it says he's touched, he's moved, he can feel the feelings of our infirmities. When you look at infirmities in the Old Testament, infirmities in the Old Testament is not so much sin as it was imperfection. The priest, for instance, according to the book of Leviticus in chapter 21, verses 16 through 24, could not serve if they had any kind of infirmity in their body. What it meant was any type of deformity in their body. If there was something, if there was a physical spot or a blemish or an imperfection or any type of thing like that, they could not serve as a high priest. And then also the animals, they were to be without spot and without blemish. And so it was that the priest who came and the sacrifice were given were to have no infirmities, that is, no imperfections in their body or on their body anywhere. And then when you think about that in return, in regard to the New Testament, you come to the word infirmity in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the word infirmity is used quite often as a figure of speech. The word infirmity in the New Testament is the same word for strength, except it has an A in front of it. And that's a way of expressing the negative of a positive. For instance, a theist is somebody who loves God or knows God or believes in God. And if you put an A in front of it, you have atheist. It means somebody who doesn't believe in God. And so when you take the Greek word for strength, put an A in front of it, it means infirmity. It is one without strength. It is one who has weakness. And so an infirmity in the New Testament, it is not a sin in itself, but it is a weakness. It is that which leads us and opens the door and gives us a predisposition, if you will, to the possibility of sin. It can become sin. It's not wrong to grieve, but that can lead you into sin. It's not wrong to have a sense of guilt and because of sin, but if you don't do something about that, that can lead into more sin. Infirmity in itself is not a sin, but it is in our nature. It's in all of us. It is that want of strength, the lack of strength. It is a crippling in the Bible, and it's in our person. It is part of our makeup after the fall of Adam. We have it in us, in our mental faculties. We have it in our moral and in our emotional faculty. We have a weakness that is inherent into the Adamic race. My dear friend, having that in itself is not the sin, but God came to redeem us and to give us a strength beyond that. He says that we can come to him and we can be born again by the grace of God, and God can give us everlasting life, and he'll save us from all of those things. My dear friend, listen, when you come to the book of Hebrews, the Hebrews and the book of Leviticus parallel one another. The book of Leviticus in the Old Testament gives all the sacrifices and the order of the priesthood and how they were offered those. Well, when you come to the book of Hebrews, It points out that Jesus Christ was a fulfillment of all those sacrifices. It points out that he was, in fact, the high priest. Now, when the high priest in the Old Testament came, though he had no infirmities, he had no imperfections in his body that were visible, he did have sin because he was like the people. And when he came in, the high priest, he wore on his breast a breastplate that had 12 stones that represented all the nation of Israel. He had on his shoulders onyx stones that had etched in those stones the names of the tribes of Israel. He was their representative. He bore them on his heart. He bore them on his shoulders. And he bore in before the throne of God in the mercy seat the blood of a sacrificial lamb to atone for their sin. But that high priest had to offer sacrifice for his own sin, because he identified with the people. He had sin. But the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ, though he had no sin, he was our great high priest. Now, when you come to this thought in the Bible, in the book of Hebrews, he offered his own blood for our sin. He bore our sin in his own body. He died for us. But in the book of Hebrews, when you come to this particular passage, it said he's one who is not one who is not touched with the feelings of our infirmity, yet he had no sin. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that he's touched with a feeling? Does it mean he knows the fact of sin? Well, he's omniscient. He knows everything. He knows the fact of your sin. He knows the fact of your feeling. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. It says, because in the days of his flesh, he suffered. What's that mean? It means to be identified with God's people. Not only did he bear our sins in his own body on the tree, but he experienced all that you and I have experienced in regard to the pain of sin and the pain of infirmities, but without sin. He suffered some of the consequences. He died for us. He suffered for us. But the Bible says this, as he looked on the multitudes, the Bible said he was moved with compassion. And that word compassion is a compound word. The word com means with, and passion means suffering. It means he suffered with. Does that mean he looked at them and he identified with their pain? He identified with their hurting? He knew what they were going through simply because he was God? No, it's more than that. He suffered with them. Now, to understand what I'm talking about, there are three places we have to go this morning. I want you to know that every pain you've ever felt emotionally, every wound in your heart that you've ever felt, he felt it. He experienced that for you. He is the wounded healer. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He suffered every heartache that you ever suffer. And I want to show it to you from the Bible. If you will, please look with me this morning as we come consider our Lord who bore our sin. You remember one of the titles of our Lord is Emmanuel, God with us. Well, I want you to know he was more than with us just geographically. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But he was with us through all of our suffering, through all that we went through everything that we went through. And that's why he said in the book of Hebrews, the consequence of all that is this, that you and I let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because he's touched with the feeling of our infirmity. He knows how you feel. He knows what you're going through. Let me show it to you as we come to the Word of God. Will you go with me, please, first in Matthew chapter 26? In Matthew chapter 26, let me show you something that he went through. In the days of his flesh, as he approaches the cross, I call your attention in the book of Matthew chapter 26 to verse number 37. And he says this, Matthew 26 verse 37, and he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Watch with me. Have you ever felt, because of a hurt or a pain or anything, such a deep sorrow you couldn't bear it? He said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He was experiencing that. He was experiencing sorrow. Have you lost a loved one? Have you had a friend to die, a husband to die, a wife to die, and you feel so overwhelmed with sorrow? I want you to know that what he's experiencing as he begins to go to the cross, he's experiencing all those things that you go through. He's carrying all of that. He said, cast all your cares on him. It's a good thing to know that he forgave our sin. It's a good thing to know that he washed us in his blood. It's a good thing to know that we're going to heaven. We got to live till then. And how are we going to carry this grief? How do we carry this sorrow? How do we carry all those things? We got to learn what the Bible says. He bore our sins, but also he experienced our sorrow. And we can cast our cares on him. He knows how you feel. He can minister to you. He can help you through those things. He is the great comforter. Notice in this passage of scripture, he says this, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful even unto death. He's coming to that point when he's going to give his life for ransom. But at this moment, he feels such sorrow. He's even, as Paul said one time, he said, I want you to know the trouble I went through. He said, I was pressed beyond measure, above strength, even despairing of death. And our Lord Jesus Christ is to this point right now that there's such a weight on him. It is sorrowful even unto death. You ever had such a weight you couldn't carry? Such a hurt you couldn't think you could make it another day? He bore that. He bore that. He experienced that. But look here for this passage of scripture as he says to these disciples, watch with me, watch with me. But he knows something else in this verse 40. Look at it. And he cometh unto his disciples and find them asleep. And he said unto them and to Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you watch with me for just 1 hour? Well, he goes back three different times and they're like that. Have you ever come to that place that you felt like your friends were no help to you? They wouldn't stand in with you. You felt so isolated. You felt so alone. They may be close to you geographically, but they seemed so very far away from you. They were disconnected from your hurt, disconnected from your pain. Look at verse 56, and notice what it says. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophet might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Have you ever felt abandoned? You ever felt like everybody walked out on you? You ever had a husband to walk out on you, a family member to walk out on you, children to leave you, whatever? Have you ever felt that hurt? Have you experienced that? I want to tell you something. He knows what it is to be forsaken. He knows what it is to be betrayed. He knows what it is to go through all those things. And he went through all those things, not for himself, but for us. He is a high priest in the days of his flesh with strong cries. He cried out. He experienced all those things. He bore it for you so you could be healed, so you could have peace, so you could have his presence. Turn back in Psalms 22, if you will, please, in this great Old Testament passage of Scripture. Here's a panoramic view of the cross as seen with our Lord from the cross. But I pick up just a few verses here to begin with. Look at verse number 14. He said, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaved to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the depths of, into the dust of death. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like that you can't cry anymore? You ever felt like everything was gone inside of you and everything was dead inside of you because of sorrow, sadness, or whatever it is, whatever you were going through? Look over in Psalm 69. Our Lord has another word here in this passage of Scripture as we think about our Lord and what he has suffered. These are called messianic psalms. These are things he experienced in his flesh. He went through these things for you. He suffered all these things for you. And in Psalms number 69, listen to what he says. Save me, O God, for the waters are come unto my soul. I sink in mire. There is no standing. I'm come to the deep waters whose floods overflow me. Just overwhelmed. And look over, if you will, please, a little further. He says in verse number 3, I am weary of my crying, and my throat is dry, and my eyes fail when I wait for my God. The Bible said with strong cries during the days of his flesh. Bible records those few things for us, but he suffered every kind of emotional and hurtful thing you can, every infirmity you ever experienced. Look in verse number 20 of that same Psalm 69. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. Seems as if the night's so dark, there's no light, there's no way to help. It's only despair and emptiness and loneliness and depression. But I'll tell you something. He's been through all that. He's gone through that. He knows what it is for his friends to walk out on him. He knows what it's like. And listen, come to that place. Come to that place where he suffered for you. He bore that for you. Let's go a step further. Turn to the book of Luke. He's touched with our feelings of our infirmities. Why? Because he's omniscient. Because he knows everything. He knows everything to be sure. But he not only knows the fact of it, he knows the feeling of it. He suffered it for you. He bore your sin on the cross. He suffered your death on the cross. He suffered your alienation from God on the cross. He suffered thirst on the cross, but he suffered all these other things that you go through in a human frame. The Bible said he considers our frame that we're but dust. He knows all about us. He knows every need you've got, every burden you've got, every care you've got. He's experienced them all. He knows. You, some people say, well, they say they know how I feel, but they don't know how I feel. But he does. Look in the book of Luke, please, chapter number 22. I call your attention to verse number 63. And the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him. And when they blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked, saying, prophesy, who hath smote thee? If you only knew what it cost to pay for your sin. It's free gift, but it's costly. He had to suffer and bleed and die. And if you only knew what it cost him to be able to feel the infirmities of your flesh, to feel the heartache you feel, to feel the sorrow you feel, here he feels this mocking. Here he feels this idea of people slapping him in the face. Somebody wrote one time about that act. It says that to be slapped in the face, there is nothing more destructive than the human personality than a slap in the face. It is humiliating, it's demeaning, it's dehumanizing, and it destroys something very basic in our personhood. And Jesus Christ let them slap him in the face because he knew somewhere down the road you'd have something happen to you that was extremely painful, something that you never would have thought would have happened. The betrayal of a friend or loved one. It's like a slap in the face or either fist. And for those of you who have been children, and you've experienced those type of things. He did that. That was all part of it. It's part of his feeling the infirmities of our flesh. That thing that happened to you, he feels all that. And because he's experienced that, the Bible said he's moved with compassion. He feels what you feel. Let's go a little step further, if you will, please, back in Matthew 27. Not only in the garden do we see him experiencing those things, not only in his trial do we see those things, but come now to the ultimate, come to the cross. In chapter number 27, again in verse number 28, as you look at this picture of the cross, verse 28, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and they reed in his hand, and they bowed the knee to him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And now they mocked him, they took him and took a robe off of him, put his own raiment on him, and led him away to be crucified. What an awesome picture. What an awesome picture. The Bible says back in Isaiah 53, this wonderful passage of Scripture, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. But it says something else just prior to that awesome passage of Scripture. Listen to what it says in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2. He shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground, and he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with our grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. My dear friend, he's one who experienced sorrow. He's acquainted with grief. He knows what it is to be rejected. He knows what it is to be mocked. People say, well, they bullied me, or they made fun of me, and all those things. He knows what that's like. You don't have to sin. You don't have to go the way of sin. There's a help for that. There's a healing for that. And it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It said he was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And I want you to know that when you're grieving, you're not grieving alone. He knows what you feel. I said last Sunday that they tell us that the two greatest emotions or greatest injuries to human heart and emotion is the death of a spouse or a divorce. And some of you experienced those things. They're heart-rending. But I want you to know that he bore our sins on the cross, but he experienced your grief. He experienced your sorrow. He, in the days of his flesh, he is a high priest who's touched. People can say, I know how you feel, but in the back of your mind you say, they don't know how I feel. They didn't lose their wife. They didn't lose their husband. Their wife didn't die. But Jesus knows. In the days of his flesh, the Bible said, with strong cryings, he experienced all those things. One of the greatest emotional traumas that you can feel when you're going through times of sorrow and grief and pain, when you've been betrayed, or when you failed, or when you've sinned yourself and you've been alienated, it seems like from God, he seems so far away from you. You say, well, Brother Billy, it seems like God's so far away. God's not close to me. I don't know what I need to do. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to go to Jesus. He loves you. And he said, you cast all of your cares on me. I've experienced everything you experienced. Oh, you say, well, he never experienced that. He never felt like God went close to him. Well, sure he did. Sure he did. In this Psalms that we read to you a little earlier, Psalms 22, listen to what he said. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? There was a point in time on that cross when Jesus Christ, I don't know, I can't explain it to you theologically. I can't explain it to you intellectually. But there was a time that the Son of Man, clothed in human flesh, felt totally isolated from his Father. He felt like God had turned his very back on him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from me? And from the cry, why don't you hear me when I'm crying? You ever felt like that? You ever came to that place that seemed like God was so very far away? Why did he do that? Hey, before the world was ever fashioned, before the clouds were ever the sky, the mountains that reached toward heaven, he was with the Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. perfect harmony, perfect peace. They needed nothing. But he came down and he clothed himself in human flesh and became a servant. Was found in fashion as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Why did he do that? He did it for you. He did it for me. He suffered every pain you can ever feel in a human frame. All the loneliness, all the hurt, all the grief, every bit of it. He suffered every bit of it. He bore our sins in his own body so that you could be saved. He went all the way, the Bible said. He descended into the lower parts of the earth. Why did he do that? He did that for me and you. He led captivity captive. Listen, he's been to the lowest time you've ever been in your life. He's been there. He's experienced that. He knows your hurt. No sin, yet without sin. He didn't sin. But the pain that it causes, the hurt that it causes, the wounds that it causes, he experienced all that, but he didn't sin in every bit of it. No sin. He did that for you. Go back to the book of Hebrews. Let me read it again. Maybe God will help me and help you a little bit this morning as we look at it again. In that book of Hebrews chapter 4, listen to what Paul is saying, what he wants them to understand. He said, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession of faith. He said, look, in the Old Testament, that priest represented you. He had to offer sacrifice for his own sin. He could identify with your sin, but Jesus Christ was perfect. He didn't have to die for his own sin. He died just for your sin. But yet he feels everything, yet without sin. That priest sinned, and he offered a sacrifice for his own sin. He could identify with those people. He knew the guilt of sin. He knew the pain of sin. He knew what it was to feel like God wasn't close to him. And Jesus Christ felt that in his body, but he didn't sin. And you say, why did he do that? He did it for you. And this, again, verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. I want you to know he felt every weakness, every heartache, every sorrow, but he never sinned. And because of that, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. You know what he said? He said, you don't have to back up to the throne. You don't have to back up to it. You don't have to come to him with shame, facedness. You have a hurt. You have that pain. He said, he knows how you feel and he invites you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Flee to the cross. Flee to that presence of God. Come boldly, he said. He knows how you feel. He wants to minister to you. He wants to help you. He wants to take away that pain. A few weeks ago, one of our missionaries was here, and she came to visit Trudy and their sister, Kathy, and Judy's sister was here. And she gave the church a book about Joni Erickson. Some of you have seen her and known her and read her books and heard of her testimony. She's testified on Billy Graham and others. She's a beautiful, young, strong, active young lady. And in a diving accident, she broke her neck and she's paralyzed. She went through an awful time of depression, an awful time of bitterness, an awful time of hurt. And it got so bad, she even asked one of her closest friends to give her something to kill her. She said, I want to die. And they refused. And she broke down and cried. She said, I can't even die by my own self. One of her closest friends was a lady named Cindy. And she came by, stayed with her and over again, tried to help, tried to encourage her. One day, almost in a sense of frustration, she said, Joni, you're not the only one that knows how you feel. Jesus knows how you feel. She said, he doesn't know how I feel. She said, yes, he does. You're not the only one been paralyzed. You're not the only one couldn't move your arms or your legs. He couldn't on the cross. You're not the only one to have a body racked with pain. He had one. He couldn't move his hands. He couldn't move his feet. But he suffered there. He suffered your pain. He felt your pain. He felt everything you ever felt. Joni, in her own testimony, said at that moment, God, the Holy Ghost, spoke to her. and said he did all of that for you. He suffered for you. He bore your sin. And she turned with all her heart to the Lord, and she said he became so very, very close to her. And the rest of her life and testimony has been used and is still being used for the glory of God. I want you to know this morning, he bore everything, every need, every burden, every care. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come to Jesus this morning, first of all, with your sin. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He didn't sin. He had no sin in himself, but he knows what it's like to bear that weight of sin. He didn't sin, but he knows what the pain of hell will be like and the alienation from God. He knows what that unquenchable thirst will be like in hell. But he didn't sin. But he can relieve you of your sin. He paid the sin debt on all of your sin if you'll come to him this morning and save you. But as a dear Christian, as a person who knows the Lord, you're not immune from all of those emotions I've talked about and I've already talked about earlier in messages. But I want you to know he's there. I mentioned last week quite often as I talk to friends and counseling sessions or sometime, ones who have loved ones who've died, one who's failed their self, personal failure, one who has something in the heart that's just a wound that nobody's seen. And as they try to tell me about it, they break down and go to crying. Invariably, they'll say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please forgive me for crying. And my heart just says to them, don't feel that way. And I'll tell you something. When you come to him, you come to him with a broken heart. That broken heart's not a sin. That grief's not a sin. But he bore it for you on the cross. He suffered it in his flesh because he wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. He wants to help you through it. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I want you to find in him your every need supplied. Would you bow with me for prayer this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. He's a great God. He loved us and died for us. And Paul said, because of what he suffered, you could come and confess your sin, and he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He said, if you come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you, wipe away all your sin, wash them in the blood. And as a believer, if you'd cast all your cares on him, if you'd come to him and just know this morning that he knows, you don't have to give him, you don't have to explain it all to him, although he loves you, he knows everything about it. He wants to minister to your heart, help you through these days. I just want you to know this morning that he cares. Cast all your cares on him. He cares. He's with you, Emmanuel. He won't ever leave you or forsake you. The sun will shine again. The roses will bloom again. Cast your cares on him. Will you stand, please, with your heads bowed and eyes are closed? I'm not sure what you need to do this morning. I don't know what your need is, what your burden is, what your care is, but I'm going to tell you one thing. I love you, but I don't have the answers that you need. I can help you, and I'll try my best, but I know somebody who knows all about you. In the longest, darkest night of your life, he's not left you. He's not forsaken. He's there with you. He's right there with you right now. He'll minister your heart. He'll minister to your need. He loves you. He wants to help you. And you just need to come to him. Come to him. Let him minister to your heart. He'll forgive you of your sin, wash you, make you whiter than snow. He'll lift that burden. He'll lift that care. If you'll just come to him this morning, let God do a work in your heart.